this is Jonah Ray from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling, and I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for August 2nd, 2022. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm COVID Chip.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. I swear to you, if you market an ice cream called COVID Chip, I am not buying it.
Steve, you know, I wanted to take a vacation from life for a week or so. And, you know, I'm 7 days in and I'm still testing positive. So, you know, COVID Chip is not enjoying this vacation.
I don't admire that you have COVID in the middle of the summer. You're missing out on life for a week, but I'm glad that you're kind of on the mend and you're feeling a little bit better. But a week of exhaustion is not fun.
You know what would make it even better? 100-degree days, Steve. Just give me as many as you can pack against each other.
Have some Choco Tacos. You'll be fine. Oh, bad news.
Oh, that's right. Well, the good news is we gave you the 100-degree days. The bad news is there's no more Choco Taco.
Film at 11. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Hey, Chip, I know the answer to this because you already spoiled it. Did you go to the movie theater this week?
Steve, I'm unable to go to a movie theater this week. And the streaming services weren't very helpful either. I mean, if you would have asked me a month ago, I would have had so many new things to watch on streaming services.
I agree with you. There has been a mushy middle in the distribution of movies. We've talked about a lot of interesting films the last month, and they are hard to find.
Exactly. And Steve, it's a good thing we have streaming platforms, because it's always fun to find out which streaming platform, you know, the latest movie gets to show up on. Hey, Steve, this one's on Showtime. Tell me about what you got to watch.
Yeah, I watched the new series called The Man Who Fell to Earth. This might sound familiar to you because there was a movie in 1976 by that title, David Bowie playing an alien who is learning about how Earth works in a fight for survival. What they've done is updated that story with new information, especially about climate change. And the 2022 version of The Man Who Fell to Earth is a sequel, a true sequel to that 1976 movie. This is a 10-episode series. David Bowie, unfortunately, has passed away. So Bill Nighy, the British actor, has taken the David Bowie role. He is a older alien who is still on Earth and suffering from all of the foibles of life. He's an alcoholic.
Did he only have one change of clothes, Steve, or did he have multiple changes?
It's better than life on Mars, right? This is life on Earth. Yes, life on Mars kept going through my head while I was watching this. The interesting thing is they named the episodes, all 10 of the episodes are named after David Bowie songs. So there's a lot of David Bowie nostalgia to this without actual David Bowie being in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve, it reminds me of like The Life Aquatic, where Bill Murray, you know, has Glocks. All the people in the boat have Glocks, and they're all wearing those light blue, jumpers with their red caps. Anyway, everybody's singing. The whole music is all David Bowie music.
The music in this is not all David Bowie music, but again, there is a lot of David Bowie to the nostalgia of this storytelling. This alien, who names himself Faraday, just like David Bowie named himself Newton when he came to Earth in 1976, Faraday has been sent from his planet because his planet is dying of a climate crisis. And
are they having a lot of green growing, like AstroTurf, Steve?
Yes, AstroTurf is the answer for sure. Can we grow some more AstroTurf? It'll go to seed. Faraday sent to this planet to try to find a way to save the last of his people from his planet and to, yes, invade Earth with those aliens. He teams up with a brilliant scientist named Justin Falls. She's played by Naomi Harris, and she is like the one person on Earth who understands the climate crisis on a level that she can help with what is happening both on Earth and on Faraday's home planet. This is a brilliant, well-acted, amazing story about how we struggle as people and the bigger picture, the bigger part of the Earth being on this trajectory of climate change and what we can actively do and what we can't do. There's a lot of conversation about the fragility of our ecosystem and how small changes can make big impacts and how we could, with a lot of work, a lot of working together, make a lot of big changes in our climate.
Well, I mean, maybe that's the thing that the messaging, because according to a group of people, I mean, we only have 20 years left with, you know, where things get really, really changed. But if you're in California, maybe you're experiencing a lack of water right now.
Maybe it's even closer.
Maybe they need this, or maybe they like need this.
You've been waiting on that joke for all week. All week, folks.
I had a lot of sleeping time, Steve, to catch up.
The timeline in this story is actually 2030. It is 8 years until we reach that point of no return where we have made these changes and there's no way to fix it. So the immediacy of the story is wonderful. There's a lot of philosophy in The Man Who Fell to Earth. The one very scientifically minded character is asked, well, why do you believe in things that you can't see? He says, I believe in God and gravity, and I'm afraid of both. Another character responds, because you have faith. And the third character says, because you are a scientist. Being a scientist, you can understand things that you don't see, and you can still be afraid of them. God and gravity are very much a part of this story. So is the story of the Little Prince, my wife's favorite story, very French story about life and being an adult, is referenced in this story multiple times, and she just loved this to pieces.
She did. All right. Did you like this series?
I like this very much. I do suggest that you take the free Showtime trial and watch The Man Who Fell to Earth from 2022.
Excellent.
You, in your COVID slumber, got to watch a couple of things on TV with one eye open. You saw The Young...
Exactly, Steve. I slept through a lot of stuff.
So let's review some of the things that you slept through.
Actually, I got to watch these two, but for many of them, I just slept through things.
The first one is The Young Victoria from 2009. Tell us all about that one.
This one stars Mary Poppins, Steve, as Queen Victoria.
John Krasinski's wife.
Exactly, Steve. And, you know, and there's always a reference to Prince Albert, which is always something and fun.
You call and ask if they have Prince Albert on can. Is that you?
Yeah, this is actually Emily Blunt. This is a fantastic movie. I had never watched it before. I got on a Emily Blunt movie, which I saw one. Just one, Steve. But anyway, it's about Queen Victoria's youth, by growing up, about a group that tried to control her mom being part of that, and how she broke out and became her own person. She became queen at age 18, and there was actually a lot of scandal's not the proper word, a lot of challenges to getting her to that moment. In fact, the king had to live until she turned 18. If not, then we had this regent who would end up taking over running and could do it till she was 25 or even throughout her entire life. So they were able to break through that. Victoria was able to take the queenship. And she basically said, I know I'm young. I know I'm inexperienced. You are my advisors. She said that to the people, to her advisors. Please advise me. She made a number of mistakes early on that really kind of impacted a lot of stuff, but she was able to grow into the leadership role that she was able to. This was a very interesting movie about something I didn't have a lot of information about.
You're not a royal watcher. It was really nice to know that.
I'm an American, Steve. This idea that there is a king or some kind of monarchy that's part of your decision-making, yeah, that's pretty foreign to me, Steve.
Yeah, I'll agree with that for sure. This is a movie that I have not seen. I did watch a little bit of the series Victoria, where Jenna Coleman took the part of Victoria, and that was a fun series, but I didn't watch a lot of it, so we didn't review that one. Do you suggest The Young Victoria?
Sure. If you have interest in Emily Blunt's film biography, this is a great movie for that. This is from 2009, so it's certainly not a new film. And I would say, 65 out of 100. Certainly worthy of your time and a very reasonable movie to watch. So I like this a lot. And if you have interest in this subject matter, Emily Blunt, I don't think you're going to do anything wrong by seeing a movie where she stars in it.
All right. And then you watched The Sting from 1973, a classic.
Steve, I have not seen this film, I don't know, in 30 years or more. Maybe more.
I probably have not seen it in more than 30 years as well.
And it's amazing how much you know of this story and how much you don't know of this story, because you forgot.
Mm-hmm.
So this has got Robert Redford and Paul Newman in this film, along with an all-star cast. Like, everybody in this film, you're like, I know these people.
Yeah.
And it takes place in Joliet, Illinois. That's where the opening scene takes place,
mm-hmm.
which I had forgotten, too. I was like, oh, really? That's where Dairy Queen and Tasty Freeze are from.
A mob story based in the Chicago suburbs? Really?
Unbelievable, Steve. You couldn't even imagine that they would be able to pull this type of stuff. So basically, there is a scam that was done by Robert Redford's character early in the film that gets the notice of a big baddie out of New York. He's like, how dare you do that to me? And so anyway, they create a sting, a false trap for this New York mobster who comes to Chicago, that basically they set him up. And it is awesome. How incredible. There's twists in this film. I wouldn't say it's timeless, because it still looks like the sweaty 70s. They're not sweaty, but it looks like the sweaty 70s. The color palette they use certainly is of a different era. But this movie is timeless because, it's a good film.
It is a really good film. It won 7 Oscars, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Writing, Best Art Direction, Costume Design, which is phenomenal, Film Editing, and, of course, Marvin Hamlisch with Best Music. The music of The Sting really resonates with me.
Dun, 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 dun. The music, man.
Mm-hmm.
And what is so interesting about Robert Redford's character is that, he's a regular Joe, and he's kind of making it. There's a lot of running in this film, by the way. A whole bunch of running. And but what is so amazing is he gets his first bit of wealth. He does 2 things wrong. One, he goes and buys the loudest suit possible, which, you're in the Depression era. I'm assuming if you're a poor person, you're not thinking about like, no, you make it very loud. And then the second thing he does wrong is he goes to one of his joints, his places, and places a huge bet that puts, something that normally people wouldn't do, and that once again puts another target on his back. So he's got this loud clothing and stuff like that. When he starts the sting, what do? They go down and they get him a new suit, which is going to be much more modest, something that's not going to catch the attention. And it really shows you the difference between perceived wealth and then new wealth, which is the nouveau riche. They're loud, obnoxious, there's just so much of a play in this that you can just peel this onion, continue to peel it away. I enjoyed it. And my goodness, this is like 80 out of 100. I mean, it doesn't get better.
Great storytelling. Really, really classic storytelling. You're right. It's the sweaty 70s. It is a period piece, though. So it does stand up to the future of the 21st century because it's not about 73. That is the key, I think.
And you got Norman Rockwell, bumpers in between the chapters. You've got the music that is certainly something that is memorable. You've got the acting, which is incredible, and the writing. And the story is one that is just like everything has to fall into place. And at the end, you're like, oh, that's where that came from. And there's parts of it that get revealed that you don't get the payoff until a little bit later, where oh, that's the connection. So it is really, it's kind of a fun film. 1973, Steve, before we were even aware of movies.
Yes, that is accurate. But the music really is the part that I think of all the time in this storytelling.
Maybe I was going to say, and I was watching a Penn Jillette interview this week where he was talking about some things, but he got COVID. And he goes, I only watch movies, I think it was 73, like 1 year. Is what he's gotten COVID a couple times, but he just basically watches when he's recovering movies from, I'm going to use 1973. Mm-hmm. So just pick all the ones that you want and just kind of put them all together and kind of explore a year. It's what he did.
That's awesome. That's a great way to go through that big vault of movies is pick a year and see what the zeitgeist is for that year. Brilliant. There's some movies coming out this week. Maybe they will be classics coming up. The first one is called Bullet Train. This is probably our pick of the week.
Yeah, this one looks like Fight Club, Steve.
We don't talk about Fight Club. That's the first rule. Yes, this is Brad Pitt. Boy, Brad Pitt is one of my favorite actors working, and I look forward to what he brings us in Bullet Train.
And the question we all ask is, when you see a Brad Pitt film, is what will he be eating this film?
You mentioned running in The Sting, and I of course thought about Tom Cruise always runs in his films, and yes, there's always an eating scene with Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, like, I've got a jar of peanut butter here. I think I'm going to eat it. This looks, by the way, really good. There is something going on. It looks like he is some kind of bad guy that's kind of trying to get out of it. One last sting operation or whatever it's going on at that time. And they're on a train and there's going to be lots of fighting and a lot of humor along with it.
I look forward to that one for sure.
Steve, what if we were like in a an American, I don't know, island, maybe between the United States and Asia? Is there anything for us?
Yes. Joe Coy has a new movie this week called Easter Sunday, all about his Filipino family coming together to celebrate and the joy and the comedy that is the life of Joe Coy and his stand-up routine.
And something that has just never been exploited, Steve. You know, most people would think maybe this could be a Christmas movie. No, no, no. This is a family Easter movie. Certainly ripe for, because anytime you bring family together, there's never any challenges, Steve.
Everything will be fine. Just do some karaoke. It'll be fine.
Exactly. Just do some, just have some fun. Just go with it and don't think too hard.
Speaking of not thinking too hard, our next movie is definitely one that you just have to ride the rails with this one. It's called I Love My Dad. It is the story of an estranged father catfishing his own son in an attempt to reconnect with him.
So a dad and son, you know, the child's growing up and wants to kind of spread their wings and break free. Mm-hmm. Like, dad must be a bad, bad guy. And so what does Patton Oswalt do? He creates a fake social media profile, friends his son as a young lady that somehow the son falls in love with, And it's Patton Oswalt. So, you know, there's going to be a little Ratatouille humor, Steve.
Yes, I think that this one is so silly and so ridiculous that I would enjoy watching it. I Love My Dad is just a funny title for that kind of situation.
And there's not the that's not the only sort of fun and games going on this weekend, Steve. We've got another movie.
Yeah, there's one called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. This is a horror film, a 20-somethings stuck in a remote family mansion, and a party game turns deadly, and then they have to solve the murder in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Well, that's the interesting part about this. This is sort of like a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly is. And the idea is like, well, you know, there's a hurricane going on. Let's play a game. Well, I don't want to play that game. Let's play Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And the idea is find the murderer. Like one of the people in it is a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like maybe there's some real murders going on. Or there's going to be some humor.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, it's kind of like that movie that came out a couple years ago where the marriage was getting ready to happen. It was called Ready or Not.
Okay.
And what we found out at the end of the movie was that the bride had to survive overnight in order to live forever.
Okay.
Anyway, there's something going on here. This looks like just a reasonable budget enough. And, it's a horror film that's a game, Steve.
Then we get into another horror film. This is called They Slash Them. And what a creative title that is, talking about the pronouns that we use in 2022 and a conversion camp turned into a horror film here.
Well, the question is that how far are you away from Kevin Bacon, Steve?
Two steps from Kevin Bacon, because the baby in She's Having a Baby works at my school.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
Isn't
of that.
Fun?
Well, this is about Kevin Bacon. I shouldn't say about Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon is one of the actors in this.
Right.
And there's an LGBTQ camp going on. These kids who are going to come together. And then there is some kind of horror film going on there, Steve.
Right.
And Kevin Bacon is wrapped up in it. This is on Peacock, by the way. This is streaming.
Yeah, the horror of the conversion camp, trying to change these kids to get them away from these feelings that they have, turns into a horror film with Kevin Bacon at the lead. Boy, oh boy. There's an animated film coming to Apple TV Plus this week from the mind of John Lasseter.
Interestingly enough, this seems to be missing its mark. Pixar, where John Lasseter got his start and certainly spearheaded the renaissance of animation that Pixar was. So Toy Story and all those up, all the way up to Inside Out, mm-hmm. which was the story on emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
On how to use this. This one seems to be wrong. There's something going on. It's like wrong spirited.
The idea of the story is that there are two forces, good luck and bad luck, that secretly affect our everyday lives. And I think the problem that you're having with it is there's a element of magic to this instead of reality, instead of people working for what they're trying to achieve.
And maybe this works this way. John Lasseter certainly is a person who could put together a good story. But it just seems like that when you would talk about luck in general,
mm-hmm.
that it is more something unfortunate happening to somebody and something that is pleasant
mm-hmm.
that would happen to somebody, fortunate to happen to someone. Or oh, fortuna, right? I don't know.
Right.
But anyway, there's a story here.
And an all-star cast, Simon Pegg, Jane Fonda, Whoopi Goldberg, and, of course, John Ratzenberger. Every John Lasseter movie has to have a John Ratzenberger part in it.
All right. So why wouldn't this come out around St. Patrick's Day?
Mm.
You know, we're thinking the luck of the Irish type stuff.
It is definitely
But then
green.
It gets even crazier. Is that the cat doesn't have an Irish accent. The cat has a Scottish accent.
And it's Simon Pegg, who's not Scottish or Irish. He's English. So he chose to be Scottish.
So something is off about this. It is on Apple TV Plus, and that seems to be how it operates. There's something always like a little bit off. It's like, just strong enough, mm-hmm. but just missing its mark. I mean, who knows?
They've got money. They're throwing a lot of stars at their productions on Apple TV Plus, but there's something just a little bit off with those. I agree with you completely.
Well, cowabunga, dude, let's order some pizza.
Are you living in the sewer to recover from COVID, Chip? Is that what's happening right now?
That's what I feel like.
We have a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie coming to Netflix this week, The Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is a time travel story where Casey Jones is set back in time to find the Ninja Turtles to defeat Krang, who is bringing aliens to Earth, and it's not going to go well. Do you remember the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fondly?
Well, Steve, I was a teenager when this came out, and it just didn't hit me that way.
I was just in the right, absolute knocking it out of the park when the cartoon version of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles hit TV. I was there for this. This is a big part of nostalgia for me. I didn't get the joke of the comic book that came before this. I got these are heroes. You are going to be interested in this story. By the way, Casey Jones in this is voiced by Haley Joel Osment, by the way.
But he sees dead people,
yes.
So this is on Netflix?
Yep.
So if you've got one of the streaming platforms, you've got three opportunities, Steve.
Spin the wheel and see where you land on your streaming services this week.
Book it.
Brings us to our book of the week. Boy, oh boy, Chip. Have we ever mentioned Fire Sign Theater on Too Much Scrolling?
I think we may have. I'm just a guy. I don't know, Steve.
All right. Fire Sign Theater is a comedy troupe from the very early 70s, and they did full cast comedy records. My favorite actually is from 1968. It's called Waiting for the Electrician or Someone Just Like Him. That is just a very, very, very silly comedy troupe that was an all audio presentation. I enjoy the comedy of the Fire Sign Theater so much, and I found an equivalent in 2022 this week. It's called Space 1969, and it was written by Bill Oakley. You might recognize Bill Oakley's name. He was one of the Emmy-winning writers on The Simpsons, Futurama, and Portlandia.
Back when they were good, Steve?
Yes. Back when those shows were entertaining. Remember when The Simpsons was funny? Yeah, about three decades ago.
And not to call you too much, was this the beginning part with Conan O'Brien? Was he later on after Conan left? I mean, there were so many great writing teams that come through The Simpsons and Futurama.
I don't know exactly where Bill Oakley falls into the history of The Simpsons, but he is one of the names of the writers that made The Simpsons what it is today, or actually what it was 20 years ago. We should be more fair.
So grab a squishy and let's learn about this story called Space 1969,
which is a joke in and of itself right there. Yeah, right?
Space 1999 was a Disney property?
No, Space 1999 was a series, a sci-fi series that was thinking about the future and thinking about the year 1999 and what we would be able to do with exploring the moon and space.
It was a British science fiction television program, initially. Ah, well, there we go.
So the joke, Space 1969, this is an alternative history. This is what if President John F. Kennedy had survived the assassination attempt in Dallas and rocketed the space race of the 1960s into overdrive. Wait, haven't we read alternative histories about John F. Kennedy before?
Yeah, it seems like if you were a boomer, that would be like, you know, it's the old standby. Go back to John F. Kennedy, who, I mean, if we to be fair, I don't know if we've had a president that's had that type of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Bill Clinton, maybe a little bit. Maybe Reagan a little bit. But certainly John F. Kennedy is his own person.
And the history of John F. Kennedy, because of the assassination, I think really embedded the opportunity, the possibility of who he could have been into the minds of those baby boomers.
Yeah, and he seemed to be of a new era, certainly thinking very differently than the predecessors. And it was a very can-do, maybe, time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the 60s certainly was a very, possibly because of his murder, assassination, certainly was a very, it was a lot of change going on. Very similar to what maybe Generation Z is doing today.
So this story takes place in 1969. If we do the math real fast, this is John F. Kennedy has won a third term as president. Of course, he's super popular. He has a 91% approval rating. So they changed the Constitution, the 22nd Amendment that limited the presidential term to two, which was passed in 1951, has been taken away so that John F. Kennedy can be president for a third time. Historically, in real history, Ronald Reagan lost in 1968. And in this story, Ronald Reagan, again, lost in 1968 to John F. Kennedy, which is pretty humorous.
Well, there you go again.
This story takes place mostly on the moon. There is a moon colony that is set up in 1969. Active, real, like, a town on the moon, not the real basic rocketeering that was happening in the real 1960s. Everything went faster and better. And in 1969, this outrageous sci-fi comedy brings us ridiculous fun on the moon. The main character is a night nurse named Nancy, and I have to imagine Bill Oakley is giving us a nod to the Fire Sign Theater here. Nancy was a big character in the Nick Danger Private Eye series on Fire Sign Theater. So a nurse named Nancy, a hard-smoking, very, very gravelly-voiced nurse who has a lot to say, and she is the main character.
Hey, just stay right there. Get your tuggets back out there.
Darling, let me tell you. This is so, so funny. The MacGuffin in this story is, of course, ready? It's a pack of cigarettes.
Did he bring that, MacGruber?
This pack of cigarettes is not really a pack of cigarettes. It just looks like a pack of cigarettes. So hard smoking Nancy, of course, opens the pack of cigarettes, and all of the technology inside of it then activates, and all sorts of ridiculous things happen. I haven't gotten to the ridiculous part of this story yet. The ridiculous part is this is narrated by former Vice President Richard Nixon.
Is it really?
The narrator is Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon. I'm doing
it's Kennedy. Yeah.
I'm doing Kennedy. I am not a criminal.
So Richard Nixon is giving us the narration, and he keeps getting interrupted by his secretary, Rosemary Woods, who is a historic character, and she interrupts in the middle of his narration, asking him to eat or to get the dog to go for a walk. The narrator, this is so ridiculous, I love this so much. The narrator spills coffee on his shirt and narrates himself going to Gimbel's department store to get a new shirt. In the middle of the narration of this story, he's also narrating, and then I walked into Gimbel's. I didn't know my size. The story gets even more ridiculous from there, because Richard Nixon actually gets arrested for assaulting a display featuring JFK at the Gimbel's. And then he narrates his arrest, and he narrates all of the other men in jail with him. And they're like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm narrating. This is so silly.
This seems bizarre and funny. And it is a it's a presentation, right?
This is a full cast recording. This is technically not a book. I'm cheating a little bit calling this a book. It is on audible.com, so I count it as a book because of that. But this is a real radio play, a 2022 version of that Fire Sign Theater hilarious storytelling.
And even better than that, if you are a member of Audible, this is at no additional cost.
Yes, even better. If you pay your monthly fee to get your books from Audible, this one is free for the taking, and I really suggest it. I think that it's valuable, especially for free.
So what do you like most about having this type of presentation? Because first of all, it just seems so bizarrely funny.
It is bizarre. It is ridiculous. It is silly. I was laughing out loud at the humor that is written into this story. I love the sound effects that they were able to present in this. The imagination of the listener being able to think about what is being presented in the words, being augmented by amazing stereo sound. I was using headphones to listen to this. I do suggest using headphones for this one. Stereo sound giving us the sound effects of being on the moon, being in rockets, and going to, wait for it, the Shakey's Pizza on the moon.
Steve, did you grow up with Shakey's Pizza?
I didn't have Shakey's Pizza. I don't think that they got to Chicago.
Well, they got to North Carolina. They're a California pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
They got to North Carolina. I remember as a kid, I mean, I'm talking about maybe a five-year-old, we would go over to the Shakey's Pizza here in Raleigh, and they would play old, like, Laurel and Hardy movies and Three Stooges and cartoons and stuff like that of that era.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd order a pizza, and it was kind of this peppery, crackery pizza. It's actually, I finally remember it. Of course, my next Shakey's Pizza I got to eat at was when I was in college, because there was one up in Northern Virginia right outside DC, and it was, I think it was Springfield, and I remember it was like this big restaurant. It's kind of run down, and I went there because I had this fond memory of I don't know, from Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
I was a five-year-old. You know, I was totally disappointed. I mean, it had not aged well. So, you know, like many brands, by the time they go through their second, third, fourth owner, and they've changed what made those things special, they don't remain special. And it was awful.
So the Shakey's Pizza on the moon becomes a critical part of the storytelling here, because President Nixon, who's the narrator of this story, decides in the narration that he's going to be the president of the moon, because he was never the president of the United States. In this alternative history, he was the vice president, but he was never president of the United States. So he decides he's going to become the president of the moon, and Shakey's Pizza puts up the money to make Nixon the president of the moon. He gets to the moon and finds out that he is only the manager of the Shakey's Pizza. That's the position.
That's like being the president, Steve. You can order whatever pizza you want.
That's right. You're in charge.
Whatever you want to order, you can order it.
There's so many concepts in this storytelling. Jerry Lewis is killed in the action of this story, so there's a whole Jerry Lewis section. JFK lost an eye in the assassination attempt, but he wears an eye patch, which makes him look even more handsome. He does have some seizures and some changes in his mentality that become a big part of the storyline, along with Rowan and Martin's laugh in a big nostalgia piece. Suck it to me, baby. Along with some of my other favorites, the Beverly Hillbillies show up on the moon in this story, and the
Clampets.
The Clampets show. And Nancy, the nurse, keeps confusing the actors with the characters. So she keeps calling Jethro, Jethro, Max, Max. This is so ridiculous. This is so nostalgic for that time, that late 60s, early 70s. the pop culture of that time is on display here, just like I would expect it to be on a Simpsons episode or a Futurama episode. I really enjoy this. And again, for free, if you are a member of Audible, I really suggest Space 1969 by Bill Oakley.
Scroll with it.
Brings it to our scroll with it. There's plenty of things happening in the world. Let's talk about almost none of them. Chip, do we get our flying car yet?
Steve, it's a Jetsons world. Of course you should have a car.
Mm-hmm. George Jetson, born July 31st, 2022. Time for the flying car. There's going to be a flying car that might hit the market weeks after getting FAA approval. Samson Skies Switchblade. 14 years in the making, now ready for its next series of tests.
Isn't that interesting? You know, one of the things we knew about the Jetsons is that we would have a flying car by now. And it's right around George Jetson's birthday, Steve, mm-hmm. like his birthday. And, of course, that means we're going to have flying cars because the future, if you remember all those cartoons, always showed flying cars. And we, of course, got this, the magazine that we still subscribe to, reread so often, Steve. It's the Rob Report because, you know, it's our people.
Learning about innovation through the Rob Report, of course.
Steve, not only do we have flying cars, but if you think about, you know, space and what we are able to see out there, things keep getting better, Steve.
Yeah, the James Webb Space Telescope has just been amazing. The pictures that we have seen of space in the last few weeks, everybody's talking about this.
They seem to get far out, man. It's far out.
Really, really far out. Like almost to the beginning of the universe and trying to see what was happening. It's amazing to think about the time travel that light takes years to get here. And this telescope is able to look back in time millions of years to see possibly the beginning.
So we get these cool pictures, but what we also got was an article from the Wall Street Journal this week that talked about somebody makes a decision to turn these black and white pictures and starting to add color to them so we get sort of an idea of what the depth of it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we get what the telescope gives us, which are these incredible pictures from a long, long way away. And then we get, you know, some artists going in there to kind of give us the depth.
And I admire that science of understanding how much farther it is by color and to see that unbelievable beauty that is our universe.
Somebody has to make those decisions. And once again, you know, the question we always ask when we look at pictures from, say, Mars and we look at pictures from deep space, if it skews on how we look at things, but on the grand scheme, it helps us understand. Colors help us understand.
Mm-hmm. It is shocking that they can see as far back as 13 billion light years with this. And the shift, that red shift of how that is interpreted through the colors. I'm fascinated by all of this.
Well, this is totally fascinating, Steve. We get flying cars. We get to see in the past through a telescope. But give me something I can use, something practical I can use this week, Steve.
The future of the NFL came this week with NFL Plus. We all saw it coming. NFL games are going to be available on your mobile device for $4.99 a month.
And as anybody will tell you, the plus sign means it's streaming.
No, the plus sign means they want money for it.
Oh, well, that works well, too. See, $4.99 a month, and you can watch all the NFL games.
No, not all the NFL games. Not the primetime games, and not any of the ones that are blocked out in your area. Only
well, see, if you get to watch an area. Listen, I live in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is there's a huge Buffalo Bills group that have moved down to this area. I mean, there's a pickup truck that I run by quite often, It is a Buffalo Bills helmet. And there is like Buffalo Bills flags everywhere. I think the entire city of Buffalo has like relocated down south. So no Carolina Panthers, no Washington Commies. No, we get the Buffalo Bills here.
Did you say Washington Commies?
They're the Commanders, Steve. What else are we going to call them?
I love the Cobra Commander meme that came out when they announced that they were going to be the Commanders.
Do you remember Ole Miss, which was the Rebels, right? They were the Rebels. They're still the Rebels. But they had to get rid of Colonel Reb because for some reason that was distasteful.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a group of people going to Ole Miss that decided that they were going to get Akbar as their rebel leader. It's a Star Wars reference for those who are not familiar with it, Steve.
Yes, it's a trap. I got you.
It's a trap. By the way, they eventually brought out a teddy bear that did not resonate with the students. So it's Land Shark now. They have a Land Shark.
Land Shark. That's how 70s is that?
Pretty soon you're going to be playing a little bit of, I don't know, Jimmy Buffett at an Ole Miss game. Hottie toddy, my friends. But anyway, the NFL Plus is going to be available for the people of Raleigh, North Carolina. The Buffalo Bills are just $5 away.
Is that the local team? Is that, I know that you say that there's plenty of fans there, but isn't the local team the Carolina Panthers?
Well, yes, it is, Steve.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, people move from all over the place. There's a whole group of people who live in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
that are from Wisconsin and seem to cheer for that team that is better managed from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that is one of the limitations of this NFL Plus is I'm not going to be able to get my son his Denver Broncos games through this $4.99 a month. This
Why?
Is because those games are not available in our area. This is still area dependent. And
oh, so you're going to be able to get the Bears game?
Yes, on so my mobile that, device.
Then I have misinterpreted this.
A lot of people have. Believe you me, this is definitely not the DirecTV Sunday Ticket where you can see all the games. This is a very limited offering that the NFL is not going to step on the toes of their cable and satellite providers yet. But this is certainly the first step toward that contract with DirecTV ending next year and the NFL taking command or control of that streaming.
Which is a great time to bring up the VPN, Steve, that Too Much Scrolling sponsored by. And they won't know where you're streaming from, Steve.
Do I have that in the list? I don't actually have that in the list, but yes, I could put that in there. There are certainly ways to change your location without moving your home.
So all those Buffalo Bills fans, Steve and Raleigh, mm-hmm. maybe this may work for them.
It may work fine. It may work just fine for them. This is a first step, again, toward what the streaming of the NFL will look like in the future. I am not investing my $4.99 per month for this particular service.
But you know what's great about today, Steve, is what if you wanted to be a Lego figure?
What if I've wanted that all my life, Chip? Finally, Lego is allowing us to customize Lego minifigs in our own special way. We can get out the Too Much Scrolling t-shirts. That's my plan, by the way, for the Lego minifig configurable, is to get Lego minifigs in our particular shape and size. Maybe not size. In our particular shape.
Full size. That'd be like monster. They'd be massive. They'd be Sasquatch size, Steve.
Big ones. We need big ones. I look forward to customizing my own Lego minifigs. You might know how many I have here in the basement. I just picked up a...
Can we put Too Much Scrolling, the logo on it too?
Yes, that is my plan.
That is pretty awesome. We could have, you know, this two big, massive, I don't know, silverback / Bigfoot.
Should we wear right hats? There. Should we wear hats so that I don't have to customize the hairstyle?
Well, I don't have a hairstyle, Steve.
That's what I was kidding.
People can have us on their shelf They could be celebrating with us.
I'm ready to make that happen for sure. This weekend, Chicago's Comic-Con is happening. The Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo C2E2 is happening at McCormick Place. They'll have plenty of Lego minifigs there as well.
It's too bad I have COVID, Steve, because I can't use those press passes.
Yeah, next year. Next year. You can become a Cubs fan.
It's always next year, Steve.
It's always next year. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm COVID Chip.
See you in the future. What I wanna think for, what I wanna